Winning isn't a mystery. It's remaking the odds in your favor by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights. Where do you get this information?
Right here.
Well, duh.
Get the winning edge. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Hour number two of the early line, live right here on Sports Grid on this Tuesday morning. And we start now the transition to week eight in the NFL by looking at some of the early lines. We finished off week seven with Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints winning in Seattle against the Seahawks by a final score of 13-10. Home team still performing very well against the spread here on Monday Night Football. All four teams off of a bye in week seven, unable to cover their numbers. We look at the two teams that were in action last night, Donnie, and where they are headed this coming week. And the Saints play a big one at home as 4.5-point underdogs to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That total is 51.5 as the Saints see Tampa Bay for the first time this season.
Yeah, this is a good game here. And obviously it's, you know, battle for, you know, division supremacy, which obviously I do think Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the better football team overall. But you're also, if you're Tampa Bay, you're getting the New Orleans Saints at a pretty good time. Don't think Michael Thomas is going to be back. But also, let's take a look at this past weekend's games. You had Tampa Bay at home, not even break a sweat to beat the Chicago Bears. You also beat them quite easily without Rob Gronkowski, who's probably on pace to have one of the better, I don't know, touchdown performances of his career if he stayed healthy with the rib injury, might come back. You also had Antonio Brown, who's been dominant this year so far, wide receiver. He didn't play, and you still won that game by 5 touchdowns. So how does it equate to this game coming up here in New Orleans? Always a tough place to play, no doubt about it. We've seen Tampa Bay struggle when they play in New Orleans, which a lot of teams do. But this is a different New Orleans team. Also keep in mind, they played on Monday Night Football in the rain in a hard-fought game. They fly back. It's already a shorter week for them. But also, you take a look at the numbers here. -4.5 and 51.5. How many times in the past that we would have taken a look at Jameis Winston when he was quarterbacking Tampa Bay? 51.5 in the dome? Give me the over all day long. Tampa Bay is going to throw the football all over the place. You know, you're going to see Drew Brees and the Saints throw the football all over the place with high-powered weapons. Not the case in this one. Dare I say, I'm looking towards the under 51.5 early in the week. Love the Saints defense. Liking what I'm seeing out of the Tampa Bay defense here. And if we take a look at, if you need to push Tampa Bay, they can throttle you. But do you need to push Tampa Bay if you're the Saints? What's your MO coming in? It's not a high-flying passing attack, Kevin, that we've expected in the past that is Sean Payton. It's more measured. It's dump offs to Kamara. Feed Kamara out of the backfield. Don't let Jameis Winston get himself in trouble, which to me leads to a lower scoring game. But at the same time, I can't in the right state of mind say, you know what, I'm really looking forward to the Saints in this one, because everything has to go right for me for the Saints to win this game. Jameis to play perfect, Kamara to have a big game, that defense to be lights out, and slow the pace of the game down when it seems like nobody on defense is able to slow the pace down here, seemingly outside of weather conditions on Tampa Bay.
The thing I think is a lot of people are going to want to back the Saints in an ugly spot, right? Nobody wants to play this team off of Monday Night Football. It was a disaster kind of a game here. Give me the ugly 4.5 at home. And I could see the world where that gets there. The Bucs, though, right now are super interesting in the way they're kind of performing against the number right now. So they have their one loss, which came against the Rams, nowhere near a cover in that big time defeat. As I bring the radio audience into the fold and appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you here on a Tuesday morning talking some week eight lines. You look at their 6 wins, Donnie. They have 3 wins where they won but did not cover. The 3 games that they won and covered, they have won by 23, 28, and 35. When the Bucs have it, they have it. And they just keep pouring it on a team here. And I could see that, you know, the Saints kind of fit both models, right? Where if Jameis is throwing picks left and right, they're just going to run this team off of the, you know, the field. I think the world where the Saints keep this thing close, though, is a under kind of a football game, as you mentioned. And that 51.5 perhaps could be a little bit lower scoring. Looking at the Seattle Seahawks game, I mean, again, imagine just 3 weeks into the season, I told you that Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer are going to go to Seattle and only be getting a field goal. You'd be like, whoa, that team must be playing great football. They must be well overachieving. Or maybe you're like, well, it sounds like Russell Wilson is hurt, which he absolutely is. Seattle lays 3 to the Jags. That total, very, very low, 43.5.
No, it certainly is low. And before the game started yesterday, you know, you're perusing some of these earlier lines. Man, that seems a little light. It seems a little light, -3.5 here. Let's see what happens on Monday Night Football. And if the Seattle Seahawks have a good performance and win, this line is going to probably go up. What if we would have told you that, hey, look, Seattle didn't win the game, but they hung around. They were within 3 points. And they said, the betting public goes, yeah, I don't like what I saw last night. So the 3.5 at FanDuel drops to 3 here as we sit on a Tuesday with an over-under of 43.5. You don't want to get caught up, though, in what you see overall. Because last night was a tough performance all the way across the board because of the weather conditions. You didn't have a lot of anticipation for Geno Smith coming into that game, other than be a game manager, which he didn't really manage all that well after that 84-yard touchdown pass. But just some quick thoughts on this game. Jacksonville coming off their first victory of the season. A deep breath here. You're starting to see now Seattle say, we have to certainly right this ship before Russell Wilson comes back. If that line stays at 3, even though how bad Geno Smith looked last night in the rain, I still got to go with the Seattle Seahawks, Kevin.
Jags off of the bye, off of the win. But we talked about it. Teams this week off of a bye, not performing well against the number. Where Seattle, though, awful at home this year. Winless to start their season in Seattle. We'll talk more early lines next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talking some early lines here on the early line. Let's talk a little Thursday night football, Donnie, because this number has been on the move with Devontae Adams expected to miss the game due to being on the COVID-19 list here. A 6-point spread for the Arizona Cardinals at home against the Green Bay Packers. A total of 51.5. And I got to tell you, Donnie, I think I'll gladly bet Green Bay getting 6 points. Even though Devontae Adams isn't going to be there, it's still Aaron Rodgers. Now, I already know how this works. MVS drops probably 2 touchdowns in the game, and both me and Aaron Rodgers leave it feeling sick as the Cardinals would win big. But my early read is this still might be a little too many points, even if I think Devontae is one of the best skilled players the sport has to offer.
You know, I also saw, I believe, a stat, and I hope I'm not wrong on this one, because it was pretty interesting to me, that the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers starting without Devontae Adams are 6-0 and actually scoring more points without Devontae Adams in the lineup than not, which is an amazing statistic, but you are correct here. One player moved the line 1.5 points here, from 4.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook up to 6. Actually, early in the week, you could have got the 3.5s. Most people in the betting public, the minute they see that happen, are going to run to the window to bet the Green Bay Packers, because many people will tell you, Kevin, the only thing that matters is beating the closing line. So you knew, let's just say the line was 4, right? Devontae Adams just announced that he is out for the Green Bay Packers and won't play. There's only one choice to make in that split second. It's not run to the window, bet Green Bay because you still like Green Bay. That price is going to go higher. So the 4s turn into 6s, and you did your job, as most people would say. But now, as you see the 6s out here and the crest of that market, which we doubt we're going to see 6.5 or 7 come game time here, and there's an outside shot that you might still get Devontae Adams back by Thursday night, but he's probably not going to play here. You still have one of the single most talented quarterbacks of all time under center. Are they just going to buckle? Are they going to give up like it was game one where they lost to the Saints? We don't want to be here. Probably not. But I know the way the mind works here is you can only take one side of this game. But as you start to analyze the situation on what the Green Bay Packers have done in the past without Devontae Adams, they're still a good football team. They have a great quarterback. They're going to move the football. It's not the Houston Texans coming to town where they're going to get 5 points. Should be a competitive ball game regardless if Devontae Adams is out there or not, Kevin.
And the thing is for Green Bay, we talked about, and I know, like, They keep playing these real weird games where everyone's like, man, they should have not only not covered, they should have lost. But they keep winning and covering. Six straight wins and six straight covers for the Green Bay Packers. And also, Aaron Rodgers just, I mean, I'm telling you, folks, if you watch these games, they close up shop when they know that their opponent is just going to keep stumbling over themselves there. They really do. Like, they were playing the Bears, and I was like, are you kidding me? All right, let me go run this in, let them know who's what, and this is all done here. Against Washington, he could have thrown for 700 yards and seven touchdowns. It was like, big game Thursday against Arizona here. I love getting a focused Aaron Rodgers with a point to prove against the Arizona Cardinals. And their defense has kind of been holding up a little bit, maybe more than we would have thought with the Jair Alexander injury as well. It's going to be an interesting one to follow. Some more COVID line movement here, although it's kind of popped back up now. Matt Nagy with the COVID, Donnie. And the Chicago Bears, I know, went from the 3.5 down to the 3. It's 3.5 right now at home against the Niners. I mean, is that total something or what? 39.5 in a game that Kyle Shanahan is coaching in here? Boy, this is an interesting one.
No, it certainly is. And most people would look right past this game like, where do I get better? But these are the DRS specials that we like to take a look at and say, where can I find value? I don't know. San Francisco looked terrible on offense Monday night. Maybe they get some offense together in this game. But anybody who has watched the Chicago Bears and the miracle, that is their offense. And I told you, Kevin, I still don't. They beat the Raiders. I don't know. I have no idea how it happened here. But the real Bears showed up on Sunday where they have no passing game, a decent running back, and their defense gets exposed when it goes up against anybody with a pulse on offense in the game. So case in point as we head into this week. If you're Matt Nagy, you know, and again, the COVID, he's probably not going to coach this weekend, but he's going to be integral in the game plan and getting things underway this week in preparation. If you're an organization, you're making a decision on what's going right here. The future that you traded up for is Justin Fields. He can't perform right now. He cannot play. You just keep on. It's almost like they say, well, since we made him the starter, we can't hurt his feelings and pull back. You would do him a service to pull him back and say, take a deep breath. You're still a franchise guy. Sit back the next 2 or 3 weeks and watch here. Then we're going to put you back in. Maybe when Montgomery comes back at running back, maybe we pick up an acquisition of another wide receiver that can actually help you before the trade deadline. But I just don't understand how Justin Fields keeps running out there, because if he's not taking steps to make himself a better quarterback, which is not his fault, what is the point of him playing? It's not as if he's going out and say, okay, I'm reading new defenses here. I'm making progress every week. I started out throwing for 150. Now I'm up to 175, 225, 260, and now 300-yard game with 3 touchdown passes. He has been absolutely abysmal at quarterback. So having said that, if Andy Dalton takes the reins here at home for Chicago in decent weather and you hang a team total around 17 points or less, DRS here is going to be looking for a team total over for the Bears. That's crazy. Why would you do that? Buy low situations with a veteran quarterback that can make this simple throw. That will equate to 17 points this weekend. Do it, Chicago. Do it. Put Andy Dalton in the game and take all my money here, because I'll be betting the Bears team total.
Let me tell you something, folks. So despite one momentary lapse in loyalty when Donnie bet a Chris Sale boost that I didn't bet and I rooted against him,
yeah,
I cheer on all of Donnie's bets, especially like when we finish up the radio at night and I know that he has to go get supercharged for this show and I stay up and I root him on home. I can't believe he's going to make me have to root on Andy Dalton for him. I don't know why he is so positive that Dalton is going to be the answer for this team. I cannot figure it out, because the amazing thing is the team total that jumps out to me is the Niners. I just want to buy low on Kyle Shanahan. Like, I think there's a 21.5, maybe get 21, maybe you can get a 20.5. It's the road. I don't care. Like, what? Back Kyle Shanahan in this game, Donnie. What is this Dalton thing,
I'm helping you out here. Take a look at this, right? You get, you know, my man Andy Dalton under center, and all of a sudden, you see the Undertaker meme pop up. Who's that? Allen Robinson, 6 catches, 105, 2 scores. You got life back in your bet here for your season-long prop bet on Allen Robinson. Yeah. Everything works. The Bears fans, you know, coming on their feet cheering, Andy, 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 as they make their way into the playoffs as a 7 seed. What a great story, buoyed by 17 or more points this weekend if Andy Dalton starts, Kevin.
I'm serious. Allen Robinson, unless he has a 200-yard game multiple times, I mean, like, you can just sit it out, pal. Like, we got no chance. Like, I got an elite talent that plays every game on a bad team that trails, and he's – I don't know if he's gone over his yardage prop once this season, and it's not his fault. It's unbelievable. Talk about quarterback changes, by the way, Donnie. Joe Flacco's with the Jets now. They're 9.5-point home underdogs to the Cincinnati Bengals. The total is 43.5. Here's the question. I mean, if it's Mike White, if it's Joe Flacco, where's the move here? Are people more willing to bet if it's Joe Flacco getting 9.5?
Joe Flacco can't start this weekend. If the Jets run Joe Flacco out here with, you know, White, who at least knows the offense and has been in camp, that would be an unbelievable. Like, Joe Douglas, what are you doing as GM at this point here? You're actually going to trade for Joe Flacco midweek and start him this week against the Bengals, who hasn't been in your system. It's a new head coach. Oh, hey, remember last year I was back there? No, it's a completely new system here that he has not played football. I haven't seen Joe Flacco even on the sideline in still shots here, but yet he's going to go back out there. If you remember last year with the Jets, when he had to go out and play the Miami Dolphins, when he wasn't sure he was supposed to play, clearly stealing paychecks, he can't start this weekend. It's going to be White, and I wouldn't have anything less than watching a Joe Flacco start against Cincinnati. Would be hilarious.
Like, they're getting 9.5 at home against Cincinnati. Donnie and I used to figure out when teams, who was going to be the last winless team. We're like, well, who's playing Cincinnati at home? They're playing 10. I mean, what in the world? There is one more early line we will discuss if we talk Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got one more early line for the people before we talk World Series action. Bills, Dolphins, Buffalo lays 13.5. This total is 48.5. A part of me really says bet the over because last time, I think it was 40-0 and it went under. Buffalo should be able to score a zillion points. The thing is, who is playing quarterback, Donnie, for Miami?
Should be Tua Tagovailoa this week in case any strange – and also, it has to be Tua. But then again, if Tua gets traded, do you go back to Jacoby Brissett? Because if that is the case here and he has to get a spot start, how'd that work out when he came in for an injured Tua early in that last football game? Not very good as they didn't score any points here. But I like where you're going in this game. If you take a look at the spread here, opened up at a FanDuel Sportsbook early in the week, 11.5. Now sits at 13.5. Mm-hmm. Because most people can't get out of their way and say, well, did you see the last time they played on the road? Buffalo crushed that football team. What is going to change? And oh, yeah, Buffalo now coming off a bye, rested and ready as they head into this, you know, divisional matchup. But Miami has been moving the football, moved it in London, moved it on Sunday versus Atlanta. Now, are you getting a level up in competition here on defense? Sure. Jacksonville's defense, not very good. And obviously, the Atlanta Falcons, not that talented on defense. But you still should be able to get into the high teens this weekend if you're the Miami Dolphins. And then if you take a look at the Buffalo Bills, what don't they do well? They do everything well, including scoring. And they should certainly be able to score against the Dolphins. Take a look at some early weather conditions in Orchard Park, Buffalo this weekend. 55 degrees at kickoff. That's like a beach day in Buffalo heading into late October, early November. There will be points in this game, Kevin, and most of them will be scored by Buffalo. But I think Tua, again, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. There's no reason to believe that if they are down in the second half, he's not going to continue to play and play well and approach, you know, 250, 275, 300 yards passing in junk time and throw a few touchdowns. This game should get over the total for me.
I mean, look, and imagine what the total would be if it's Deshaun Watson playing quarterback for Miami this week. That's the main reason.
There's no way he could play.
No, there's absolutely. I mean, I'm skeptical the guy ever plays another
game. Trade him on a Friday night this week or Thursday night this week. Like, hey, Deshaun, you haven't even practiced or played. Get out there and play Buffalo. Let's get it, kid.
Whoever trades with him, like, hey, Deshaun, are you ready to play ball? I'm like, no, I'm not. I need a couple weeks here. But I wanted to bring this up, Donnie, because it was one of the headlines about the reports around Deshaun Watson now, where It's not South Beach or bust, right? He will go to teams that are not the Miami Dolphins. Now, I don't know if that means his list is two teams long in Miami or Carolina, or if there are only two teams calling in Miami or Carolina. But as we sit here on a Tuesday, is this the week we finally get the Watson deal done? Are there sleeper Watson teams out there? I mean, what's the read on the situation right now?
I don't think there's any sleeper teams on Watson. I think you hit the nail on the head. And the Miami Dolphins have been hot and heavy for Deshaun Watson for a while. Carolina Panthers on the outside. The Philadelphia Eagles, who have three first-round picks, looks like they're coming next year, have been taught. But, you know, from most of the latest reports here, the Philadelphia Eagles seem to be out on him, and rightfully so. I don't understand the move here. Like, what is the urgency for these football teams to make a move now, being the Miami Dolphins? Do they look like a playoff team right now? Absolutely not. The Carolina Panthers? No. So it's one of those teams where you say, if the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers snapped his leg, and you say, you know what? We have Super Bowl aspirations. Deshaun Watson could get us over the hump to make a deep playoff run. Aren't those the moves that you make in season? What is the point for making an in-season move here that's not going to help your football team this year? And maybe you can wait it out to see if some of those legal woes disappear here for Deshaun Watson and you get clarity on what his suspension might be, if any. I don't understand the move midway, even from a Houston Texans perspective either, Kevin. But to me, it looks like the Miami Dolphins and the Texans want to make a deal, and they're probably just hyping up saying, well, Carolina's in the market, Miami. You better give up that 2024 first rounder that we want.
Can I give you a week 9 early line, Donnie? In Miami, the Texans play the Dolphins. If that's Tua versus Watson, but Tua's in Houston and Deshaun is, I mean, that might be game of the week between just two one-win football teams. I mean, that might just be game of the week there. I mean, that will be – also, there's going to be a really interesting conversation to be had around a Houston Texans team that potentially would bring back a – Tua Tagovailoa or a Sam Darnold in a trade, and what that would mean. It certainly would mean a quarterback upgrade over Davis Mills, but I mean, that goes without saying. Tyrod Taylor going to also maybe never get his job back somehow. Poor Tyrod. He was really good for that team when he was out there. Let's talk baseball, Donnie. Let's talk a little World Series action here. We go straight to tonight's game. Valdez, Morton, Houston, -136. The Braves, that +116 price here, and the total is an 8. And the interesting piece, of course, is Valdez comes off of, I still think, probably the best single-game pitching performance the postseason has offered up to this point here. Can he do it again against Atlanta in Game 1 of the World Series?
Yeah, we're taking a look at some of those bets here, right? You know, overs or like the grand salami bets per se here for the entire series. If you like XFIP numbers from pitchers, Kevin, this is your game for you tonight. Take a look at Framber Valdez, the lefty on the mound today. Last 30 days in Major League Baseball, which includes pitching performances in the playoffs when you have the highest leverage possible. 2.92 XFIP number, striking out close to 24 batters that he's faced. Now, he's faced 84 batters over the past 30 days, Kevin. Right-handed batters, 64 of those. This is typically where a left-handed pitcher will struggle. Not the case here for Valdez. A 322 weighted on base average, which is right about average, and a below average ISO power number of 0.140. But take a look here, lefty on lefty. To lefties, he's faced 20 batters over the past 30 days, Kevin. Weighted on base average, a 402, coupled with a ISO power number of 316. Now, let's go over this lineup here that's going to be set up for the Atlanta Braves that we anticipate starting tonight in Game 1 of the World Series. Nice thing that it is in the American League, so we do have a DH here. But look at the weighted on base averages for the Atlanta Braves of how they set up over the past 30 days versus left-handed pitching. Soler, 529. Freeman, 437. Albies, 375. Riley, 414. Rosario, 531. And Adam Duvall, 545. That's the first six batters of your lineup here that are doing damage with getting on base. And also keep in mind, outside of Freddie Freeman, who struck out against lefties over the past month here, Kevin, at 36% rate, which is extremely high, everybody else in that top six, very low on strikeouts here. Something has to give from that perspective. But if we take a look at the opposite side here with Charlie Morton, a 3x FIP number over the past 30 days. Close to 100 batters faced. K percentage for him, Kevin, 33%. Lefty and righties here. Weighted on base averages, 230 to lefties, 266 to righties. How about the power numbers here? Morton, a right-handed pitcher going up against lefties, a 130 ISO. And how about this? 45 batters he's faced, Kevin, from the right side. An ISO power number for Morton, 0.0. Sensational stuff here. So if you're looking at early some of the nerves, runs might be a little bit tougher to come by tonight, even though we have some pretty good weighted on base statistics for both Atlanta and also Houston in this game.
Overall, these teams have been providing some overs. So for Atlanta, 4 of the 6 against the Dodgers did get over the number. For Houston, 8 of their 10 postseason games have gone over. And more specifically, as they have a team total here of 4 tonight, 9 of the 10 games they played, they scored at least 5 runs here in the postseason. Yes, you better believe I bet over 4.5 the one game they did not score 5. You better believe that's exactly how that played out for yours truly. But the Astros have continually hit every single step of the way. But this does feel like the most dangerous staff they've gone up against yet. I don't think anybody would really argue for Boston. And the White Sox on paper were supposed to be better. But Lance Lynn didn't profile well. And Rodon didn't have a lot of juice by the time he made it to the postseason. And Giolito, again, is not probably what they thought he was going to be. So I think, you know, could Houston be held in check a little bit more? It's certainly plausible here. Also, just to mention the strikeout props for these guys, and we'll talk hitter props, no doubt about it. Morton's a 5.5 with plus juice to the over. Valdez is a 4.5 with plus juice to the over. It becomes still a big question mark, Donnie. What kind of rope do these pitchers have, if any? Because now we're in the World Series. I mean, we've seen guys get pulled so early. Eovaldi got pulled in that game number 6 it was against Houston. That was bizarre to me here. Morton Valdez with some decent numbers potentially, but I don't know if we could trust either manager to leave their guy out there for long enough to cash these overs.
You know, it's a good point you bring up. Now that we're in the World Series, you know, 2-3-2 setup here. So 2 games in Houston, 3 in Atlanta, 2 games in Houston, obviously, you know, after game 4 to be determined, as we like to say. But letting the pitchers go longer in game 1, they're 2 good pitchers. These aren't spot starts. This isn't a bullpen game start. So if you do get into a little trouble, now outside of Framber Valdez giving up 4, you know, runs in the first inning, and you say, all right, they're going to pull him by the second or third inning just because he doesn't have his stuff tonight. I get that. But if you're looking at 2 pitchers giving their average performance tonight, why are they getting pulled in the 3rd or 4th inning at this point? Because as I said previously, we're not opening in Atlanta, Kevin, where maybe a big at bat is coming up and your pitcher is going to be in the batter's box. That's not the case here. So both of these pitchers are average tonight, meaning 5 or 6 innings, 2 or 3 earned runs. There's no reason to pull these guys early and burn your bullpen in game 1 of the World Series. Tonight, game 1 and game 2, before those high leverage games start to kick in, where every game seemingly matters, where you can't absolutely lose this game or you're going to lose the series. I think the pitcher should go decent tonight. No, 5-6 innings, as long as they're on their game tonight, at least.
Valdez went 8 his last go around, which has just been such a rarity for the way that this postseason has played out. I think if you're Atlanta, right, as well, if Charlie's in trouble against this team, it becomes really fascinating stuff. We'll talk hitter prop parlays and different total base markets, and then we'll talk a little NBA as well all next year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're right back here on the early line, closing out our MLB World Series preview. Game 1 tonight, Houston hosts the Atlanta Braves as -136 favorites. As we look at it, a total of 8. We've talked about the side, the total, the pitchers, Donnie. What about the hitters? Are there any different, whether it be some hitter prop parlays, whether it be total base markets, anything catching the eye for tonight's action?
A couple things are catching the eye tonight, but also keep an eye out the FanDuel Sportsbook. You do have a free, risk-free, same-game parlay tonight in the World Series, Kevin. So tonight on In-Play Sports Tonight, before game time, which is scheduled to be first pitch just after 8 o'clock, we're going to build some nice ones and have some fun. But if we're looking at just some hitter prop parlays to start the night off, how about one right here that I'm going to try to build around the Atlanta Braves? And that's between Freddie and Eddie. That is the two-team hit parlay I have queued up right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, which is a minus 106. And what does that entail? One, Freddie Freeman to get a base hit or more tonight in the World Series. They are the away team. They will get a full nine at-bats. Next guy in line, Eddie Rosario, the left-handed batter. He also will be included in this. And the good part about Eddie Rosario and Freddie Freeman, to get one base hit, why does it make sense here for us? Now, look, Framber Valdez has been very good. But again, look at him versus left-handed batters, a 402 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 316. Take a look at Freddie Freeman versus lefties so far over the past 30 days, a 389 ISO power number, a 437 weighted on base percentage. Eddie Rosario versus lefties, 333 ISO power number and a 531 weighted on base percentage. The Freddie and Eddie hitter parlay tonight, minus 106 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Sign me up, Kevin.
I'm pretty sure if it rhymes, it automatically cannot lose, which would be a big boost there. Mm-hmm. I will mention, in terms of if you wanted to kind of separate the two teams, Bregman and Ozzie Albies for a hitter prop parlay is minus 120. Bregman has a hit in every postseason game in Houston so far during this run. Albies did not get a hit in the first game of the playoffs against Milwaukee, nine straight with a hit. Two other spots I wanted to bring up. Martin Maldonado, a very bizarre 7 of 13 lifetime against Charlie Morton. Just for a hit is minus 130. Like, you look at these, all these other guys, minus 250, minus 300s. Martin Maldonado, minus 130, batting over 500 career lifetime against Morton. And then, Don, I wanted to just present one kind of bomb play, if you will, here. Jose Altuve is minus 125 to record a run. To record two, he's plus 550. That's happened in six of the 10 playoff games for Houston this year.
Yeah.
A plus 550 number that's hitting at a 60% rate. Not a bad look on Altuve.
No, not a bad look on Altuve. And also, when you keep in mind with Jose Altuve, what do you like most about him? Not that he's not a clutch player and he gets big base hits and he's hit for average in the past, but Kevin, he leads off. He's going to get more bats than anybody on the Houston Astros. So if you need that extra at bat to squeeze in later in the game, it's a whole lot better to have the leadoff guy than the six-hole hitter for sure.
No doubt about it. I remember I needed an extra bat from Correa the other night because he was walking and getting hit by pitches, which does not help hitter prop parlays one bit. Let's make the transition over to the association here, Donnie. Six NBA games in action, starting with one that jumps out right away, is at the Garden. The Knicks host the Sixers here, a couple of 2-1 teams right now. New York, a minus 118 favorite as it sits here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 217.5 is the total. The Knicks flashing some real early positive signs, building off of their claim to the fourth spot in the East last year. The Sixers should be 3-0, but Doc Rivers is still their head coach. They basically went five scoreless minutes against the Nets, which should be impossible, and I will not let them live that down. What do we think, Donnie? Knicks Sixers.
Yeah, stroking up an old rivalry here, which actually the Knicks and the 76ers good at the same time. It's always much more fun basketball, but I guess these games always center on, particularly from a Sixers perspective, what are you getting out of Joel Embiid? He's typically going to be a game-time decision, it seems like, at least 75% of the time. But when he plays, he is dominant. And also keep in mind, Ben Simmons, not with the Philadelphia 76ers. No worse for the wear and tear. The one thing we could probably agree on with the 76ers' loss to the Brooklyn Nets was in the fourth quarter when nobody could score. Well, Ben Simmons, no, Ben Simmons didn't even want the basketball and would not have scored in that game. So it wasn't a key factor that Ben Simmons didn't play versus the Nets, which is why they lost. So coming into the Garden, Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, Barrett, Randall, and Robinson versus Maxi, Curry, Green, Harris, and Embiid. This should be a great basketball game. The homer in me says the Philadelphia 76ers, but the wallet in me says, maybe going that short price here with the hometown New York Knicks. Dare we say, go New York, go New York, go.
You better believe it. Oh, that's what everybody should say all the time. There's a new one out there as well, Donnie. For those that know, they know. Oh, I will say right now, the Knicks off of that loss at home to Orlando, that is going to certainly be a motivated bunch here for this game. The constant Embiid stuff, you just never – but you never know, but you feel like he's absolutely playing. Like last night I got the update, LeBron probable for tomorrow. He's now done this for three straight years. Like LeBron is probable for every single game. It's like, stop sending the update. It's very comparable to what happens with Embiid, although I guess maybe you're a little bit more worrisome as it pertains to him. I have to mention – tough scene here, Donnie. Seth Curry doesn't help you out opening night against the Pels on a three-point prop parlay. He proceeded to make six in the opening quarter against the Thunder the other day and scored 23 first-quarter points. I think you're going to continue to see Seth be a big part of the action here for the Philadelphia 76ers. We just mentioned LeBron. The Lakers are in action tonight. They go to San Antonio as five-point favorites. They got on the board with their first victory of the season against the Memphis Grizzlies, but still no cover here. The Lakers aren't a team that I'd be running to back against the number here. I think the Spurs catching five at home. Let the Lakers prove that this is a team you shouldn't be fading at will before you stop doing as such here. Again, I know everybody expects me to say bet the Lakers, bet the Lakers. I don't do that. They're a team that you actually can often get a pretty solid read on when it's their night and when it's not. And they've yet to put forward any kind of performance, Donnie, to me that you would be desperate to lay five on the road with them.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're relying on Carmelo Anthony to bail you out and win basketball games, not always the best look at this. This is supposed to be a guy that's supposed to give you 5 to 10 minutes a night, make a couple buckets and go sit over on the sideline. Not the guy that's going to be leading the charge with hoping you win. And also, it's always focused on LeBron James. Russell Westbrook still trying to find his way around and make a name for himself in L.A., at least where he fits in on the basketball team. But, Kevin, the biggest news of the night, I mean, you had to wake up this morning, check the FanDuel Sportsbook and say, this could be like my birthday, the greatest day I've ever seen. Why is that? An odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook here with LeBron James to score 25 or more points and a Lakers victory that boosted from plus 200 to plus 250. Now, we're going to have an argument. Should we get in? Should we get not? Is this a principal play on your part here that whenever LeBron James shows up on an odds boost, it is an auto go?
I think so. I mean, come on, he's LeBron James now. Let's not just leave money on the table, Donnie. Because here's the interesting thing with LeBron is he's the best shooter in the NBA, which is a really interesting development from him, shooting 48% from three to start the season. He's made five threes, and four threes. I mean, Seth Curry wishes. Remember when Seth had that awful, or Steph Curry? Listen, it's not bad. A little money line play there on LeBron. He scored 25 in the first two games there. I'll also say Russ is interesting. He was back to hawking missed free throw rebounds, and they were just letting him run wild to open that game. He had 13 assists against Memphis. His assist prop is 8.5. The rebounds plus assists is 17.5. That will be decent markets to look at. It feels like the triple-double is going to come, Donnie, for Russ sooner or later. And they're still being, you know, posted at some big plus prices. Eventually, Russ is going to get another triple-double. I mean, it is his thing. He's Mr. Triple-Double.
No, he is Mr. Triple-Double. And also, you know what I'm most excited about this game? Not because LeBron James has an odds boost that has a decent shot to hit for a good payday. It's the fact that tip-off is at 8:40 tonight. This will be the first time that I watch the Lakers play in about 5.5 years, Kevin. I'm excited here. I'll be up for it.
Donnie hasn't called a LeBron game since he switched out of Cleveland.
How's he been doing out there, Kevin? He's been doing good out there the past couple of years?
Yeah, he's all right. He got a championship. A lot of people act like that didn't happen, but things are going well, Donnie.
Asterisk.
How about another nightcap here? Now, this one, Donnie, will catch none of. Utah and Denver. Although, will he be missing much? Because the Denver – can you have a look-ahead spot two games into the NBA season, Donnie? Denver at home loses by double digits to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now on the second leg of a back-to-back travel to Utah as 7-point dogs here with a total of 219.
Yeah, it's a crazy game here, too. Nikola Jokic on one side, MVP-caliber player, one of the most dominant centers in basketball, going up against maybe the most dominant defensive center in basketball in Rudy Gobert. But you're right. It can't look at – well, boy, we got to save all our energy here to go on the road and play the Utah Jazz. Probably not the case. But having said that, we always like to look about – bounce back opportunities, maybe something that you saw and it's a buy low situation. Denver Nuggets going on the road here. I think they're going to be competitive in this game. I'll take the points in this one going up against the Utah Jazz.
I agree. I think we'll find out. There's nothing overwhelming yet about teams playing on the second legs of back-to-backs that say you need to fade Denver. I still believe they're a scrappier group, and I think that this can be a more competitive game than perhaps that 7-point spread indicates here. One game that I don't know how competitive it will be is Golden State, Oklahoma City. OKC is awful, really bad. I want them to play the Magic in a 7-game series at 2 p.m., like when the NBA playoffs are going on, like when there's no other sports going on, like they should make those two teams, because they're so bad, just play like 7-game series in the middle of the day so we have action. And then let like the Pistons and the Kings or something like that play, or, you know, or the Rockets play on the other screen. That'd be great, great action here, Donnie. OKC, they have not only not won, they've yet to cover. Golden State, a perfect 3-0. Right now, I mean, they're laying 9. They probably cover. Steph probably scores 30 in the first half.
Yeah, talent discrepancy here, to say the least. And this is even without Klay Thompson on the court. You just take a look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, which we laughed at last year, who made it so apparent they weren't trying to win, literally sabotaging their season because they have 1,000 draft picks coming up over the next 5 years. Time to get some talent on this basketball team, but it's not going to arrive in time for the game tonight. Golden State Warriors should splash this team into the abyss. 223.5, probably looking towards the over as well. Golden State should get a road victory by 10 or more tonight, no doubt.
Golden State's team total, I believe, is 3-0. It probably depends when you got the number with the Clippers, with them scoring 115. Again, Golden State putting up about 120 here. Certainly feels like it could be live. And then the other NBA game that is on the board tonight, Dallas laying 10.5 to Houston. That total is 221.5 as the Mavericks and Doncic look to get on the board at home for the first time this season. Up next here on The Early Line, Donnie Wrightside will close out a Tuesday edition.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for The Early Line on a Tuesday right here on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table for you 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and The Morning After. And you know who's co-hosting that in the early part of that show? One Kevin Walsh, which is why you don't see him here right now. Stay tuned for that. But I have to say, sometimes these segments are my favorite thing to do. Tonight, we have the World Series. Excited for that. Hit our parlay put together. Same game parlay we're going to build tonight on In Play Sports tonight and have some fun with that. So make sure you tune in there as well. The NBA on tap. But today, I need to talk a little bit here about fans, particularly one Tampa Bay fan who did the right thing. And seemingly a lot of people on Twitter and social media think he did not do the right thing. What are we talking about here? Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass to Mike Evans. Mike Evans, being the kind gentleman he is, goes to the back of the end zone, probably sees a fan with a number 13 jersey on and says, here you go, buddy. Thanks for all your love and support. Here's a football of the pass I just caught right here. Uh-oh. Getting back to the sideline here, Mike Evans realizes and was told, you just gave away Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass football. So immediately after recognize that, a guy from the team personnel goes over and says, hey, man, look, it's a mistake here. Can we get that football back? We'll compensate you. The fan looks like he goes back and forth with a couple words. You know what? Shake hands on it. We got this thing here. Good on that fan. Good on humanity here. Why? He should have kept the football. $1 million he could have got. $500,000 he could have got. Sometimes when you get a football and you're a fan of a football team that you know you got by mistake and the guy that gave it to you had all the best intentions of the world, but you know rightfully that football never should have made it to the stands. It should go right in Tom Brady's trophy case at home. So when we're taking a look at sitting back on here, getting compensated, two jerseys and a helmet from Tom Brady, a signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats, 1,000 credit to the Bucks store, and also two season tickets for this year and the next. Great compensation. Great fan for giving it back and realizing what was actually taking place. Shame on you people out here on Twitter and social media who thought that you should have kept the football and held Tom Brady and the NFL hostage for $1 million. Stay tuned to the morning after. Ben, Scott, Stevens, and Kevin Walsh.